This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so brand new series entitled Faith for the Abundant Life. And my whole objective is to get you in faith and understand that it is the will of God for you to live an abundant life. Ephesians 3:20, our foundational text for today, says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above what, class? All that we ask or think according to the power. Hold on, we're going to act like we didn't do this. According to the
power.
Yeah, that is at work in us. How many know that God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith, all right? And so you have to understand that. And so I'm going to talk to you for the next few weeks on the subject of the abundant life to get you in faith to receive everything that God has for you. The abundant life, my definition, and they'll put it up on the screen, is living a life in the will of God. And we know that his will is his word. Isn't that right? Where you are overcoming every adversity and having all of your, watch this, physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial needs met. How? In abundance. And so you have to understand that this is God's plan. So when we talk about abundant living, when we talk about God prospering you, when we talk about you living a good life, you got it? I believe that there's an unbalance sometimes when that's taught, because a lot of times preachers just talk about money. And although we need money and God wants you to have money, it is the total package of nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in your life. It's having my physical, my emotional, my spiritual, and my financial needs met in abundance. And this is God's plan, all right? This is the reason pastor's teaching this, is because it's God's plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares who, class? The Lord. He says, plans to do what? So we see right there that it's God's will for you to prosper. Right? And so you have to have faith. You got that God wants me to prosper, and it's okay for me to prosper. He said, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And so we're going to talk about it. Today's going to be, some good review for some of y'all, but there's a lot of, we praise God every week. We have people making decisions for Christ, joining our church. And so for some of you, it's some good review, and some of you all, it's brand new information. And we need to make sure that everybody gets to the same spot. Isn't that right? All right. So we're going to jump. We're going to jump into it. And can anybody guess how many points I have today?
Three.
You already know. All right. So everybody say point number one. The abundant life is promised. We have to understand that I can only release faith for something if I can see it in his word. So the abundant life is promised. Scripture reveals that God has promised in his covenant with us to give us an exceptional life. And he wants you to live an exceptional life. John 10:10, one of my favorite verses, says the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it. Yes, in the Amplified, it says to the full till it overflows. So when I teach this, I like to tell people that when bad things happen, it's not God's fault. When bad things happen, you know, in your life, or you find it happen to someone else's, that's not, people get upset with God and get mad with God, but it is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, does that make sense? Like, that is the devil that does those things. And I can't answer every question of why he does this and why he does that, but I do know that the just shall live by faith, and regardless of the situation and regardless of the circumstance, I am supposed to keep living by faith. I'm supposed to keep trusting God. I'm supposed to keep trusting his word, and if I do, everything's going to be good. Does that make sense? And even if I go through a tough time, God is going to get me through it, because God is still good even when bad things happen. I don't hear nobody saying nothing in here. What you have to be careful of is not to back up from God when bad things happen, or not to get mad with God, or not to question God, because Jesus himself says that is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Does that make sense? All right. And so we see that he wants us to have life and life more abundantly. 3 John 2, I'm just pushing this point. He says, beloved, that's you, I wish above not some things, but all things that thou mayest prosper. See, there's that word again. We keep seeing it. Jeremiah, the we saw the word prosper. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. My soul is my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, and my intellect. He says, so I want you to prosper. I want your body to be healed. And he says, and I want the soulish part of you to prosper as well. And so it's the total package. It's the total package. Let me keep pushing it. Psalms 35 and 27. I'm just giving you a lot of proof text, because anytime I teach, especially if it's on giving or you living an abundant life, there's so much craziness out there, and so many people have lied to you or talked you out. You know, sometimes the reason we're not living an abundant life is because we're not in faith for the abundant life. Does that make sense? Yeah, because you've let everybody talk you out of it, or you've heard somebody that turned you off. So I don't want to hear the word anymore. But it's the word that gives you life. Right? Psalms 35 and 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say, how often, class? Let the Lord be magnified with has pleasure. Who has pleasure? The Lord have pleasure in what? The prosperity of his servant. So God has pleasure when you prosper. God has pleasure when you live a good life. When you look good, you make God look good in the earth. Does that make sense? And I need you to understand. Now, if you're going to give me a clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. I need you to understand that God wants you to prosper, and it's okay. It's okay. So, you know, God blesses you. You've been believing God for a new car, you know, and you get it. You don't have to park two blocks away, you know, from the job. You understand? Well, you know, I'm just trying to stay humble. You know, no. Now, we don't, you know, get all proud acting like it was you, because we know anytime anything good happens to us, it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Isn't that right? But watch this. But I'm not going to push God and what he's done for me under a bushel. You got to. I want people to know that the God I serve, he saved me, he healed me, he delivered me, he blesses me, he protects me, because I'm in covenant with God. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you've got to understand that the abundant life is promised. And to the degree I will release faith for the promises of God, they will be yes and amen in my life. All right. Y'all get anything out of this? Yes. All right. Y'all good class today. Everybody say point number two. All right. Point number two, the abundant life has purpose. The abundant life has purpose. Genesis 12 and 1, the Lord says unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And watch what he is. So first thing he says is, I'm going to move you from the environment that you're in, because what I want to do in your life, it's not going to work in that environment. And there's sometimes we got to get out of certain environments and get away from certain people so we can let God's voice be the loudest voice in our lives, so we can see clearly what God is trying to do in our lives. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. Because, you know, you can't tell your dreams to everybody. You can't tell everybody what you're believing for. Everybody ain't going to be happy the way you're happy. Everybody don't have the same level of faith that you have. Everybody don't understand the word to the degree that you've been taught the word. Does that make sense? So the abundant life has purpose. And there is, watch this, a defined purpose for abundant living. He says, watch this, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. That word bless means I'm going to empower you to prosper. He says, I'm going to make your name great. Abram at the time, who is now Abraham, name wasn't great for himself, but it was for everybody after him. He's the godfather of faith. You understand what I'm saying? And he says, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'm going to read it again. And thou shalt be a blessing. And thou shalt. So watch this. So there's a defined purpose for abundant living, that when God blesses me, he has more than me in mind. He wants me to have enough so I can take care of me and for me to be a blessing to somebody else. Does that make sense? All right. So he says, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So it was the order of God that we followed behind Abraham. Watch this, with that blessing. Remember, I read to you the scripture last week. If ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the same promise to him is the same promise that, you know, to us. You got it? God could swear by no greater. He swore. He said, Abraham, I swear I'm going to bless you. I know it don't look good right now, but I swear I'm going to bless you. I know things don't look the way you want them to, but I swear it's going to work out. And so the same promise that he made to Abraham belongs to us because we have the same covenant that he gave to Abraham. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of Jacob, and he's the God of you. Does that make sense? Same covenant. And you've got to get it made up in your mind that I'm tired of worrying about what people say because I'm going to quote a scripture or I'm going to say I'm blessed. Man, ain't nobody paying my bills. You understand? So I have to understand that I am a king and a priest in the earth. Jesus came that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. It is my position to dominate. It's my position to rule. It's my position to reign in the earth. It's my position that if I see somebody that needs a car, I write the check and buy the whole car. But I'm never going to get there if I don't believe that abundant living belongs to me. Does that make sense? This young man is teaching up in here, whether you know it or not. Same promise. Everybody say same promise. Same promise. So he's going to bless them that bless you. He's going to curse them that curse you. And through you, all the families of the earth going to be. Same promise. Imagine if every one of us in here is walking in the manifested abundant living in every way. Y'all already know, every week, Lady and I are a blessing to somebody. Y'all know that, right? Many people, you got it? Watch this. Imagine if every one of us is doing that. And then everyone, watch this, that we're blessing, gets a hold of this, and then they start being a blessing to somebody else. There would be no lack or no shortages because that's the will of God. It's not the will of God for me to just build bigger barns and because I got this, I'm just going to keep storing up. Now, I believe in savings. I believe in retirement. I believe in all that, and I have that. But what I'm saying is God wants to bless you in so much abundance that you want to be a blessing to someone else. And let me tell you, God doesn't have to die. God doesn't need to tell you to be a blessing to somebody else. He can. Watch this. But you should go looking to be a blessing to somebody. Does that make sense? All right. Now, I believe God will put it on your heart to be a blessing. But there's sometimes, you know, that I might be, you know, at the grocery store and God didn't necessarily nudge me. And sometimes he does, you know, but I don't believe he has to. You got it? That's part of our DNA. That's part of our makeup. We are givers. We are blessed to be a blessing. You got, we always have because we always give. Somebody say, I always have because I always give. And it doesn't matter the amount. It doesn't matter if you took care of the person behind you, you know, at McDonald's or Burger King, Chick-fil-A for $10, or you took care of somebody's, you know, gas for $45, or depending what kind of truck they have, $100. You know, it doesn't matter. You got it. I remember I was not on the fast, okay? Not on the fast. I was at Bojangles, but not on the fast. Long time ago. And I remember telling the person, you know, I want to pay for the person behind me. You know, and you know, Bojangles, you can get them big tailgates and those kind of things. And so they ordered a bunch of, must be Cowboys fans. I don't know what it is. And so the guy's like, sir, it's $127. Well, I didn't flinch. You got it. If God said, bless the people behind me, God knew how much it was. Even if I didn't know how much it was. So I'm not going to back up. I'm going to obey God. Because when God tells somebody to do something for me, I don't want them to back up and flinch. Isn't that right? All right. God is looking for people he can flow through. If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. I believe God gets a lot through to me and Lady. You got to me and Lady because he knows he can get it through us, all right? And so I taught you last week that the principle of increase teaches us that giving must take place. If you remember, I gave you the analogy. I gave you scriptures, and then I gave you the story when Jesus gets on the boat. Peter's washing his nets. Y'all remember that? He's preaching, and then Jesus says, go back out. You know, because the whole principle is you can't, and I took to you where Peter said, we've left all and followed thee. And Jesus said, oh, no man has left this, that he won't receive now in this time, 100-fold, and in the world to come, eternal life. Y'all remember that? Just shake like you remember. Okay, all right. So what happens is there is a principle of increase, but it teaches us that giving must first take place. And that is why I'm excited about the big giving day. If you notice, nobody has pressured you. Nobody has called you. I don't think you've received an email. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just sharing with you the vision, and it is up to you to hear from God, because I've already taught you how to hear from God. I've already taught you that peace is your green light. I've already taught you to get an agreement with your spouse, because agreement is the keeper of peace. Isn't that right? But I'm excited because I know that this is going to be a moment that we sacrifice corporately, and sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. Some of you years ago, when you first came, started coming to church, had never given a $1,000 offering in your entire life, but you did it. You got it. You was trembling, but you was trusting. You got it. Now it's been years. Hello, somebody. And God has blessed you immensely, and it ain't no problem. You understand what I'm saying? I give $1,000, or if God tell me to give $3 or $5. Why? Because you've worked the principle, and the principle works. You got it. And so the whole idea is to stretch you, because once you're stretched, you never go back to where you were before. Does that make sense? All right. So you have to understand that giving is a matter of the heart. It is a matter of trusting God. It's like the man who goes to the river and he gets a big pail of water and he brings it back to the house. And over time, you got it, the mama's using it, the kids are using it, and the water begins to diminish. As the water begins to diminish, he doesn't get upset, he doesn't get frustrated, he doesn't get mad, because he knows where what he got came from. He can go right back to the river, he can go right back to the source. Well, when you know that God is your source and that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, when what you have on hand gets a little bit lower than you want it to, you don't have to get upset. You don't have to get frustrated. You don't have to get mad. You watch it. You can go right back to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that always provides. You can go right back to the source, and he will supply not some of your needs, but all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you release what's in your hand, God releases what's in his hand. And how many know his hands are bigger than yours? Everybody say, his hands are bigger than mine. All right, so giving is not a game. You got it? Giving is not a game. It is God's plan to prosper our lives. You got it? But the key is giving in faith. Giving in faith, understanding that this is the plan of God for my life, to give and to give in faith and to release in faith. And if I do my part, I know that God is going to do his part in my life. Does that make sense? All right. So you must trust God, his word, and his systematic process, all right? You got to trust God. He is who he says he is. You got to trust his word that it cannot change. You got it? And then you got to trust his systematic process. You got it? First the blade, then the ear. After, the Bible says, Mark 4, the kingdom of God is as if a man would cast seed into the ground, you know, and the Bible says, and he would go to sleep, right? And he would rise day and night, and the seed would spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. First the blade, then the ear, after that, the full corn in the ear. And so it's showing us process that when I sow, you got it, that something happens and I don't know exactly what happens. You don't understand the whole thing. If you were to go to put a seed in the ground, you don't understand germination. You don't understand like all those things. You just know I bought this pack of sunflower seeds and they say if you put them in the ground, it's just going to start sprouting up. I'm going to keep going to bed and waking up and going to bed and waking up. And as I do that, I see it spring up and grow and I really don't know how. Anybody ever planted some sunflower seeds? I had to do that in school when I was a kid. That's how I know. Big yellow sunflower seeds. You got just amazing, right? Well, it's the same thing when we sow, when we give. We call it sowing because that's what it is. It's the process of sowing and reaping. When we sow, you got it, we don't know exactly what's going on, but we know that if we will keep our hearts right, you know, which is the Bible says for the earth is the heart of man, bringing forth fruit of herself, all right? And so what happens is when I sow, if I'll keep my heart right, it'll spring up and grow. You got it? Some 30, some 60. I don't know about you, but I believe for the 100-fold. Isn't that right? All right. So I have to trust his systematic process. And it's simple obedience. It's simple obedience. I think I gave this to you last week. It's the if-thens, that Job 36 and 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. It's up to you when God tells you what to give or when God tells you to do something. You got it. That's up to you to obey. If you do it, you're going to spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Isaiah 1 and 19. If ye be willing and obedient, what's going to happen? You're going going to eat the good of the land, right? So if you want to eat the good of the land, you got to be willing and obedient to his word. Isaiah 55 and 8 says, you got to catch this, that the natural man does not think the way the spiritual man does, because they are spiritually discerned. So he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than yours. And really what God's saying is, I'm smarter than you. So I'm not going to come down to your level of thinking. You got to come up to my level of thinking. I'm not going to come down to your way of doing things. You got to come up to my way of doing things. And if you begin to do things my way, you're going to see my results in life. Now, when I obey God, matter of fact, everybody say obey God. Obey God. Yeah, just that's the bottom line. That's what you have to do. You have to obey God, all right? You have to obey God. When I obey God, I set into motion spiritual forces in the earth. We call it spiritual momentum. Everybody say spiritual momentum. All right, that was okay, but we got a lot of people looking at us online, so we're going to add. All right, when I obey God, I set into motion spiritual forces in the earth. We call it spiritual momentum. Everybody say spiritual momentum. Spiritual momentum. Oh, good class. Spiritual momentum is a force that is released in the earth when you obey God that attracts ever-increasing participation. It's like a snowball effect, all right? It attracts ever-increasing participation in the spirit realm as well as in the natural. So you're taking the spirit and the natural together. Faith meets you at the point. Just leave that up there. Faith meets you at the point of human limitations. You do everything you can, right, in the natural, and then God puts his super on your natural. Does that make sense? So it's working together. That's why I tell you, I believe in medicine, and I believe in doctors, and I believe in all those kind of things, right? Right? So he says, as well as the natural, that helps you overcome obstacles so you can accomplish the will of God and lay hold to the promises of God in your life. So it's spiritual momentum. I remember the day that I quit a $25 an hour job, you got it, and took a $6 hour job. I went from really, at that point, I didn't have a job lined up. I don't suggest doing that, but that's just how it worked. I went from good money to no money, but I started spiritual momentum in my life. Just backdrop real quick, because we have a lot of new people. I was just getting out of the Marine Corps, 1999, and I had already been working on a job, and landed it on base, and as soon as I EAS'd and got out, you know, got my DD-214, I picked up this new job and doing some of the same things, and I didn't know it was a third shift position, and I can't stay up at night. Like, some of y'all can stay up all night, you know, but my internal clock says around 10:30, it's about time to go to bed. Right? And I just couldn't do it. It would frustrate me. And then my wife would be frustrated because I was frustrating her. You understand? She was trying to do everything she could because she's such a good wife, trying to put black curtains over the windows and make our room as dark as it could. I just still couldn't go to sleep. It wasn't working out for me. It wasn't working out for our marriage. It wasn't working out for nobody. Right? So we agreed that we're going to quit the job. I went, told the guy, going to quit the job. He asked me why. I told him because I can't sleep at night. I'm just worried. He said, oh, that's no problem. You're a good worker. He says, you can just do your work and then go take a nap for an hour or two and then do your work. And, you know, he said, sound like a plan? I said, no. I said, because I serve a God that if you do it his way, you'll get his results. I didn't say that exactly, but something like that, right? Yeah, and so what happened was he was shocked that I didn't take the job. He told me I was crazy. He told me, you know, just all those kind of things. Watch this. But I knew that God didn't want me to keep that job because I couldn't keep it in integrity. Because how many know that gentleman who hired me did not hire me to sleep at night on his job? How many know that whoever you work for didn't hire you to sleep on the job? Come on, somebody. Take all them extra breaks. You got it. Be on Twitter and Instagram for 6 out of 8 hours. I'm going to leave the rest alone. Praise the Lord. So I quit that job, but I started spiritual momentum. I didn't panic because I understood that if I was willing and obedient, I would get results. Watch this. That I would get results if I obey God. Everybody say obey God. All right. And so you have to understand that to the degree that I obey God, watch this, that I'll see some things happen. So now, not overnight, but over time, I took a job making $6.25 an hour, most aggravating job I ever had, because it was working in the afternoon across from Jacksonville High School at a building, a place that was called Ecom. The building's still there, you know, but the business is not, right? And so I was working the afternoon shift, and the kids would come over from the high school, and that would be the afternoon shift that they always wanted to be giddy and laugh and joke, and everything was funny. You got it? And so, but I stayed committed to that job. You got it? And then, you know, God opened doors. You know, my pastor Taylor introduced me to ice cream trucks, right? I was talking to him about this the other day. And so, you know, he, I think he knew I was a smart guy, but, you know, I think he figured, well, he's going to need some help. Well, he gave me the truck, and man, I started putting that truck together. If I needed anything, I'd call him and ask him a question. I was making deals with the ice cream manufacturers because, you know, I didn't have much money, so I was like, if I buy all my ice cream from you, will you loan me one of your freezers? The guy's like, no, we don't do stuff like that. So I just kept hanging around. Why are you hanging around? I'm waiting for faith to work. Why in the world do you walk away every time somebody says no? Maybe if you learn just to hang around and let faith work in your life, faith will work. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so we kept talking, and we were just shooting the breeze, you understand, talking about the Cowboys, how this was our year, you understand? It ain't happened yet, but I still believe God. I told Corey, he said, somebody asked me, am I ready for tonight? And then I told Corey, I said, I think I might extend my fast, because I haven't broke my fast yet, you got it? I might extend it through tonight, give the Cowboys a little spiritual push. It don't work that like that, Pastor. Yeah, but it don't hurt to try. Because we're going to need all the help. I do realize we're going to need all the help we can. I'm willing to, if they send a private jet, to fly out there and kick the field goals if they need me to, you understand? Some of y'all got that. I didn't panic because I knew that if I would just watch this, stay in faith, God would show up. Talking to the guy, and the guy's like, you know what? I don't know why I'm doing this, but just bring your truck over here, and I'll push it in there. You got it? And I kept my word. I bought all my ice cream from him. You got it? And made all kind of money. I remember the first Saturday I was out, I went by just to see Pastor Taylor real quick, and he liked to check behind me, and he knew I didn't like him checking behind me because I know what I'm doing. I'm a smart guy, you know? And so he came up there anyways, Matt, son, I'm like, Daddy, I got it. I'm good. You know, he's like, so he opened the cash box and saw all the cash in there. He said, yep, you good, and walked right off the truck. Oh, there was days on the ice cream truck. One day, biggest day I ever made, the most money was when Lady went with me and we stayed out the entire day. I mean, we stayed out there so long that freezer's like, it's time to go to the house and plug up. You understand? I made over $800 selling popsicles and Nutty Buddies and those kind of things. Why? Because the spirit of faith was on that truck. Every day when I would leave, I'd say, Father, I thank you that people are lining up to buy ice cream from me. I think that they will bypass other trucks, you got it, and wait for my truck. Now, please understand, I had my khakis on. Back in the day, we wore them big baggy khakis. My polo shirt tucked in with my belt on. I kept the door open so that way the parents could look in and see that it's nice and it's clean. See, I understand presentation. I understand business. You understand what I'm saying? I'm doing everything I can to make sure that the parents know that I don't even have to be there and the kids can run out and they're going to be safe. See, people get mad. Well, they ought to know. No, you just got to learn how to be smart and do business the right way and things will come to you. Does that make sense? Watch this. And God bless. Then we opened another business and then, you know, ended up making millions. But watch this. It never would have happened had I slept on that job. I might still be working that same job, sleeping a couple hours, you understand? Now, it was good money, $25, $30 an hour, but it wasn't millions. And I didn't know that God had millions in plan, in place for us. But if I never would have stepped out and obeyed God, I would have never seen it come to pass in my life. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Oh, man, I am not done. Everybody say if you had time. Okay, maestro, play so they know I'm done. If I had time, I would explain to you that there are should I give this to you? Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. Y'all say, yeah. I would explain that there are several approaches or resolves to God. I would talk about the religious resolve, how people, they just come to church out of tradition, and they go back home and live a defeated life because they hear the word, but they don't do it. Or I talk to you about the reprobate resolve. Even when I know what God says do, I won't do it, but I expect God to bless me anyway. Doesn't work that way. I will talk to you about the relationship resolve, how people strictly would come to church because of relationship. I just go there because my cousin go there. You understand? And they value relationships over everything. They can't make righteous choices because of relationships. Eli got into trouble with God over relationships. People will leave this church because they're in a relationship with somebody and got mad at that person and will leave the very place that God is causing the word to come that's breathing life into them. But the highest degree of commitment to walking with God is a revelation resolve. I don't know why I put that S up there. That's my fault, Ellen. That was a typo. Revelation resolve, all right? When I know better, I will do better. This is the whole purpose of a TC ministry, to instruct the believer from the word of God. You got it? And it gives you revelation. I'm going to give you my definition of revelation. It's an understanding of, now I normally give you, it's an understanding of the word of God at your level of comprehension that brings clarity and conviction to live differently. That's what I normally give you. I change it up a little bit. It's an understanding of the word of God at your level of comprehension so you can make application of the word of God so that you can get results. And I don't know about you, but I am about results. And I'm telling you, God is about results, and the word works if you work the word. All right, let's review. What's point number one? Put it up on the screen first. Oh, no, I'm going to ask you. I was just waiting for them to put it up. Okay, what's point number one, class? All right, go to number two. What's point number two, class? All right, and in closing, the last one is the abundant life must be pursued. The will of God is not automatic. He needs our permission and our participation to usher his will into our lives. And so what happens is, you know, you have to pursue it. You got it. You got to speak the word of God. You got to declare it over your lives. You matter of fact, let's make a confession. Let's stand up. We can do this. We can do this. Let's make a yeah. All right. Yeah, we might have to pick it up court just a little bit. Let's see. I don't know. It depends. Yeah, I think we need to pick it up a little bit. I think, you know, you got to get ready like you're about to go out there and play them 49ers. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. You got it. You got to declare some things. And if you haven't been, from today on, I want you to start declaring some things in your life. Every day I make declarations over my life, over my wife, over my kids, over your life, over my finances, over my business, over my investments, over everything. You got it? So my latest thing I'm doing, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not the person to come to. You got it. But I'm kind of really getting involved in all this crypto stuff. You got it. And I've lost some money, but I've made some money. Praise the Lord. And so anyways, because I believe in declaring things, I got me this T-shirt. Crypto Millionaire Loading. Yeah. Why would you do that? It's part of the process of faith that you call those things that be not as though they were. If you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, you'll see it manifest in your life. You got it? I'm telling you, this works. It might sound funny if you've never done it before, but this works. You got it? We reverse the reports of men by rehearsing the word of God. Repeat it after me. We reverse the reports of men by rehearsing the word. Oh, y'all gonna say it with me, all right? Okay, repeat that to me. So, no, let me say it first, all right? We reverse the reports of men by rehearsing the word of God. Yeah, so you gotta remember, I reverse the reports. Doesn't matter what the doctor said, doesn't matter what the lawyer said, doesn't matter what the banker said, doesn't matter what the guy at the car lot says, I reverse the report to men by rehearsing the word of God. All right, we're going to make this declaration of faith, then we're going to go home. It's early. It's only 10:14. Y'all ready? All right. I didn't give this to you, right? Yeah, this is fresh. This is fresh, hot off the press. All right? Everybody, repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over my finances. I thank you for wisdom and revelation knowledge to bring me to a no-need state. I refuse to walk in fear. And I commit to be a consistent tither and offering giver. I dispatch my angels to go and bring all the money and resources I need to make an impact in this earth and live an amazing life. I choose to be generous all the days of my life. I declare a shift is taking place in my financial situation. I thank you for the victory in my finances. From this day forward, I will only say what your word says concerning my financial situation. So I say, increase, come to me. Big checks, find your way into my hands. I declare uncommon favor, unusual favor, unexplainable favor. It rests on my life. I declare multiple streams of passive income. I make money while I sleep at night. I declare the winds of change are blowing in my direction. I decree that total and complete financial freedom belong to me. I decree it. I declare it. It is so. Right now. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Now shout unto God with a voice of triumph. In the name of Jesus. We decree it. We declare it. And it belongs to us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the word. That it falls on good ground in Jesus' name. And the enemy will not steal the seed that's just been sown into their hearts. And Father, I declare that the confession we've made, I set my faith with the people of God in this room and online and declare that it is happening in Jesus' name. It is happening in Jesus. I thank you for multiple streams of passive income for the people of God that, watch this, that they can live a life of no stress, no strain, and no struggle in Jesus' name. Listen, we can't go home without praying this prayer. So if you're in the room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I got to give you the opportunity. He's the best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. So if you need to get saved, pray this prayer. If you need to rededicate your life, pray this prayer. If you need to rededicate your life to Jesus, pray this prayer. If you're a Christian and need to repent, pray this prayer. Also want you to fill out the connection card if you're going to get saved. If you're a first-time friend, you got to fill it out. I say you got it. You ain't got to do nothing. But, you know, if you're a first-time friend, we would love for you to fill it out. But I would also love for you to fill it out if you're going to get saved in the room or online. If you're going to rededicate your life, or if you want to join this amazing church, how do I join the church? Just get the connection card, fill it out, and turn it in, and that's all you got to do. You get the ball rolling. So let's pray this prayer together as a family. Someone say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, I thank you for what you've done. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Praise all over the building. Are you glad you came to church at 9 o'clock in the morning?